Well, all of our lessons today are very key ones and favorite ones, and they have a lot to do with why we are here together. While many other Christians and religions incorporate them and like them and use them a great deal, and we have much in common with other Christians, it's the way we take these passages that's so central to makes us who we are. They are a big part of why we have the name Lutheran in our church name and why we call ourselves Lutheran. There's probably no passage that receives more votes for the favorite passage than John 3:16, which happens to be part of our gospel today, and we heard just a bit ago. Many, many Christians would call that their favorite passage. We see that passage on billboards sometimes and held up on signs at games that are televised and things like that, as people say, put all over the place, John 3:16. When we hear that passage, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die for us, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, we hear a verse that doesn't seem like it could get any better. We hear of God's pure love for us that comes to us freely, though by means of great cost to God. But it's such good news to us. I mentioned several weeks ago how tormented Martin Luther was as a young man. He felt completely convicted by sin and thought he could never escape from it. And just as the second lesson today from Romans and our gospel passage from John 3:16 are such good news to us, they were very welcomed by young Luther. Especially in the book of Romans, he began to see how the love of God could come to him even in his imperfection. He began to see that it wasn't so much about him as it was about God. God's perfect action of love and forgiveness was a gift to him, and it couldn't be earned. It could only be received as a gift from God, taken in faith, and this changed his life completely. He began to see how his relationship with God was changed by it and how his way of receiving God's grace freely changed the direction of everything he did. He saw how this faith and life direction is more in receiving God's gifts, is with open arms is the way to live, not by scratching and clawing, seeing if you can get high enough to please God and try to get close to God. Everything was flipped upside down from the way he had seen things before. Was now a gift rather than something he needed to earn. This message of grace, that everything from God is a gift to us, is different than what we might call the fallback position of our human brain. Our instinct is to think that nothing is free and that we must do something to earn what we get. To think of the wonderful message of today's gospel, it lets us know that God's will is really to give us the kingdom. The verse starts out, God so loved the world. God wasn't an experimenter or someone who just wanted to rule or be in charge of the world. Rather, we are told God loves the world and wants everything good for the world. For someone who is in charge of everything to love this world is remarkable. And this love isn't just the kind of light thing of thinking good thoughts towards someone or sending good messages to someone. This love takes on the real life of the person of Jesus. We sometimes say with gifts, someone cared to send the very best. We could say God cared enough to send the best. This was an act of love for Jesus to come for the sake of the world. So that's something we celebrate at Christmas, that Jesus was God's gift, good gift to the world. When we give gifts at Christmas, we remember how God has given us the gift of the Christ child. It's all God's gift to us. And sometimes gifts can be very costly. And we can kind of easily say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But when we remember that Jesus was given so that he might give his life for the sake of the world, it's a very sobering thought. God gives Jesus so that he might die for the sake of the world. This is no ordinary gift. This is not just coming up with a gift idea, buying the gift, wrapping it, and giving it to somebody. This is something equivalent to giving away our only child. God's goodness, God's love, God's gift was beyond what any human being could do. God has a capacity and had a capacity for love greater, far greater than anything we might do as human beings, that we can attempt to grow into this love, this quality of love that God has, so that just as God loves the world, we might love God's world also. We receive this love and we give this love. The further miracle for us, which Luther realized, is that this wonderful gift comes to us simply by believing that it's there for us to have. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me will have the gift of eternal life." It's a matter of us receiving this great gift of the death of Jesus in our place. And this is how promises work. The life of Jesus is offered to us. It's a promise that as we believe in him, we will have life with God and life forever. Will we believe and accept the promise? Simply by believing the promise, the gift becomes ours. If someone writes us a large check for, say, many thousands of dollars, for that check to do any good, we need to believe that the writer of the check indeed had the money behind the check to cover it. When we do believe that, yes, it's a valid check and it's there for us, we take that check and make our attempt to cash it. It's an act of faith when we do that, believing that when we do even something so common as a cash a check. When we receive and believe in Jesus, we are believing God's promise. And as soon as when we believe that promise, the promise comes true. We are forgiven and we are received into the presence of God. We believe the promise, and the promise is true when we believe it. Paul takes up this theme of how faith receives the gift in the passage from Romans that we've heard this morning. He emphasizes this even going all the way back to Abraham. He said, even Abraham lived by faith in God, and God had a promise to keep with Abraham, and he did it. He goes out of this way to say that this way of having a faith and promise relationship with God is stronger than a reward kind of basis where God expects us to do so much and then rewards us on the basis of that. He said even Abraham believed the promise, and the righteousness or the good relationship with God came through that faith and not by any particular religious action that Abraham did. The faith, by believing the promise of God, Abraham, the promises came true for Abraham. And these were the words that comforted Martin Luther so much. He spent much time and energy and physical health even trying to make himself worthy of receiving what he believed God wanted him to have. But it wasn't until he read and heard again how Paul explained how Abraham was saved by his faith in the promise that Luther saw that this was true for him also. Then he was much relieved and began to shape the church in a way that reflected that that salvation comes by believing the promise of God rather than trying to make oneself look good before God through religious practices. He was so relieved when he realized God's grace was extended to him and that all the benefits of Jesus were his as he believed this promise of God. And Luther knew also that when faith receives the promise, the attention and the thanks and the praise go to the one who has decided to go with the promise and the one who makes the promise. The attention goes there, not to the one who decides to believe it. His emphasis remained on the great gift of God that is promised to us and received by us, but not on the human activity of accepting the promise or accepting this and making some decision about Jesus. The glory and the praise go to God for making the gift, not to the person who has the faith. The glory goes to God, who thoroughly loved the world, and at the expense of his son, Jesus, saved the world and gave this gift of life and forgiveness of all. The glory goes to God, not to the humans who are given the faith to believe in Jesus by the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons we baptize people as babies is that it underscores the fact of the gift of salvation that is a promise, that it's all an action done by God. Babies can't do anything to make their own faith that they're at an infant stage. And so infant baptism makes it obvious that the baby hasn't done anything to make this happen or to earn this. It's all about God and God's promise, a promise to grow into. The glory and the praise go to God. In our gospel reading we've heard, Jesus is with Nicodemus, and he's a Jewish leader of the faith. He has a feeling about Jesus and wants to know more about Jesus, where this ministry of Jesus is really going. Now, as with all human beings, Nicodemus is slow to understand that it's about the promise of God received in faith and not about something one must do to earn God's favor. He's like all of us. Out of our humanity, we tend to think that we can make a way for ourselves with God. It's in us to think that if we do this or that, God will like us and love us more, and it will help us to have a better place in heaven. And even the church goes through similar cycles. Obviously, in Luther's time, the church was at a place, while it believed in the death and resurrection of Jesus, it saw the access to the benefits of Jesus by doing certain things and keeping certain rules. And so Luther reminded the church of his day when he came to this insight of reading Paul in Romans, that is just as Jesus had to do to the Jewish leadership of his time, to Nicodemus and his compatriots, and say, you've got this all upside down, that the fruits of faith are the gifts from God to be received on God's terms, which is a way of grace. God's there to hand it to us, not on terms that humans put on them. God says, I have this gift for you. Receive it. We respond to God and don't put it in human conditions on it. We can be so thankful for the verse that's included in our gospel today, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. When we hear this verse, we're reminded of the wonderful gift God has in mind for us and that God is happy to give it to us and to have us receive it in faith. It's a wonderful thing Jesus has promised. We give thanks for it. And we live with confidence, knowing that nothing on earth can really get to us because God in Christ has covered us into eternity. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.